Tappers, happy Monday. How is everybody doing? It is another edition of the Daily Tap. It is February 18th. Hope you guys are all doing well. A little bit of programming for you. You will be stuck with me the entire week. Yes, there will be no tapping the keg. Mitch and I's schedules couldn't work, so we are punting this week. I had a topic lined up for tapping the keg that I'll probably do someday, just when there's something slow. There will be a slow day here in the great state of Wisconsin from a content perspective, so I'll make sure to include this. It won't be today, but we will we'll also add that to the mix. Today we're discussing the Mike Moustakas return. Mike Moustakas comes back to the Brewers on a one-year deal. We look at the All-Star festivities from a Bucks perspective. I wrote today that the Bucks won the All-Star game. I stand by it. We'll chat a little bit about Giannis and Chris Middleton. And then we'll finish up looking back on the weekend slate of college basketball and how that affected Marquette and Wisconsin, who both were off, and yet they will be ranked somewhere in the respective top 25. All right, let's waste no more time. So the Milwaukee Brewers made a signing. As you know, baseball is still slow to the grind. They aren't signing free agents at exorbitant contracts, and people are coming back, and positional players report today, yet Manny, for some teams, Brewers are one, and yet Manny Machado, Bryce Harper still are not signed. It is absolutely wild. It's crazy. The recent rumors are Harper and Machado both have $250+ million deals out by the Padres. Who knows if they have those deals by other teams. That said, the Brewers did not make a $250 million deal. They made a $10 million deal with Mike Moustakas formerly of the Brewers. Moustakas went over from Kansas City in a deal last July, and now he will stay with the team. It's not really surprising if you were following along with Brewers social media this offseason. Moustakas played a role in the California Strong campaign with Ryan Braun and Christian Yelich. Moustakas and Yelich are high school teammates. So there obviously is a camaraderie there. And so Mike Moustakas comes back. Now, some people were concerned with this move. They just felt like the Brewers, A, were already set in the infield. They didn't really need any additional help. Then the idea of, you know, adding another body, what could that do? And I just disagree with that wholeheartedly, because I feel like, you know, the Milwaukee Brewers, like any team in baseball, you're going to need depth. You're going to need a deep team to go far in the postseason, to be a division champion yet again, to go back-to-back for a division championship, I think for the first time since the 80s. I'm not even sure if the Brewers have done that. But that's where we need a stats department to check that out for us. But I don't think they've done that. And so to go back-to-back in what will be a very tough division, you're going to need guys. Travis Shaw can't play 162 games. That's not possible. That's not what happens. Injuries happen. Brewers have had a decent amount of injury luck throughout the years. I mean, if Jesus Aguilar goes down early in the spring training, or Travis Shaw gets hurt, like, now you have a backup. And Mike Moustakas isn't a guy that's going to come off the bench. Like, that's not what Mike Moustakas' role is. And as someone pointed out on Twitter, the Brewers are probably one of the most creative teams in baseball. They're going to figure out how to do that. Badger Noonan, who had this, he said, Brewers look at baseball so much differently. Moose can help them go ultra lefty heavy, can be a part of a great defensive lineup late, a bench bat, get others rest. He's a two war player if they get creative. They are. So it's like, that also is another thing. I mean, the fact of the matter is like, and I know that people are like, yeah, it's him and Shaw are are definitely similar, and they may have like a Spider-Man meme quality to them, but the Brewers are going to figure out ways to get around this. Craig Counsell is the mad scientist. I've called him that before. He loves playing with lineups. He loves being sort of against the grain, and they're going to do that. They talked about putting Moustakas at second base at certain points. What's there to say that Moustakas might not become a second baseman? Now, I think he's a little too big to be a second baseman. I just think unless he got into a little bit better shape and lost a few pounds, I just don't see him as a second baseman. Maybe I'm wrong on that. But, you know, still, the Brewers have ways to get around this. Like, they obviously have a plan. This isn't like, hey, let's just sign Mike Moustakas. This is, all right, Mike was on the team last year. It worked out. I'm sure that they talked with Shaw a little bit about this. I doubt that they would deal Shaw. Now, Shaw is in the last, I think he's in the last year of his contract, because they did mention he has been talked about. They asked him if the Brewers have talked to him about an extension, and he said no, but he's obviously open to that sort of thing. So if you look at Travis Shaw from a contract perspective, obviously baseball and contracts much different. He has an ARB2 and ARB3 year in 2020 and 2021. So he's still kind of on the arbitration scale. He makes $4 million on a base, which isn't too bad, 4.6. You'd guess that Shaw at some point would want a little more. He has a very cheap contract. You could deal Travis Shaw. I don't know why you would. I like Travis Shaw a lot. I think Travis Shaw brings a little more power and consistency than Mike Moustakas. I just didn't see it from Moose on a night in, night out basis when he was here for the last couple of months of the season. So we'll see. We'll see what the Brewers do. I'm sure Craig Counsell will have a lot of thoughts about it. They signed Moustakas right after the team wrapped up practice in Maryville. So there was no player reaction to this. So I think you'll get that today. We'll see what, and manager reaction. We'll see what Counsell says. We'll see if David Stearns comes out. And for those who are like, well, why aren't they spending money on a starter? I think it's too early to be like, that's a done deal. There are still a lot of people out in the market. Dallas Keuchel, still unsigned somehow. Like, this is just the craziest fucking thing ever. Like, I kind of hate it. Like, viscerally, like, I just feel weird. Like, our boy Bobblehead Bobby hit me up and was like, do you want to join a fantasy baseball league? By the way, he's looking for people. If you wanted to join, hit me up on Twitter, SnowTapWI. We can get you set up. Looking for full year commits, by the way. Nobody dropping off like in July because their team stinks. But anyways, it's so hard for me to even say yes because like, and I did, but like, there's no, I don't know what rosters look like. How frustrating is that? Like, if you're like a fan of the MLB The Show, like MLB The Show has to wait until like the season starts to release their video game instead of like how Madden does it and how others do it where there's a run up leading into the season. You can't do that. Like, it's just so weird. So to complain about a starter at this point is let's like wait until like March 18th. If the Brewers that have the same rotation, then we can talk about, well, is that concerning and get into the logistics of that. But we're just not there yet because there are so many motherfuckers unsigned. It's incredible. Really, we'll see if Harper and Machado take their landing spots early this week. I think we will. Some people think that looking at flight plans and shit like that, that Bryce could become a Philly today, which we'll see. Again, who knows? Moving to the NBA All-Star festivities. So the Bucks participated Saturday and Sunday. Saturday was a light attended Chris Middleton. Chris Middleton only hit 11 three-pointers in that game and was really kind of struggled. I did win $5 off our boy Noel Murphy, who said he'd miss a full rack. That didn't happen. Murph still hasn't paid me, whatever. I'm not here to. I saw him on Sunday, too, and he couldn't just drop me a fiver. I mean, whatever. That's on him, I guess. But anyways, but Middleton still struggled there. I don't think that was really a surprise. I think none of us thought Chris Middleton could win a three-point contest given the depth of the three-point contest this year. I thought it was really fun. Joe Harris taking home the crown over Steph Curry. Joe Harris went off for 27. Curry could only get up to 26. Curry could only get up to 24. He kind of got cold. It was weird. He started off really hot, and it's like, what if he just sweeps this? What if he makes every three-pointer? And then he got cold kind of on the third and fourth racks, and Joe Harris was able to take home the crown for Brooklyn. But then for the All-Star game itself, and someone mentioned that like the All-Star game has become better than Saturday night, and I would tend to agree that the players are just at such an athletic level that some of the shit that happens in these games is just out of this world. The Giannis bounce dunk, I've called it the super bounce dunk that Steph Curry had to Giannis, was one of the more incredible things I've ever seen. My dad, not an NBA guy, I sent him that clip, and I was like, oh my God, like, this is the best dunk I've seen in a long time. Like, I overreacted and said, oh, this is Giannis' best dunk. I mean, the Tim Hardaway dunk is still number one, but this has to be number two or number three. Like, the fucking ball leaves the TV screen. Like, that's how high this fucker was. And Giannis came up and grabbed it and threw it right down. And he also didn't, like, do the Dwight Howard where he threw the ball into the basket. You know, Dwight Howard was kind of a fraud when he would dunk. He had these big dunks and high-flying dunks. He would throw it into the basket. And it's technically like a dunk shot, if you will. But he didn't actually have hand touch rim. Giannis had hand touching the goddamn rim. Like, that was a awesome, awesome dunk. He had a bunch of others. I mean, he was great. 38 points, 11 rebounds, 6 assists. He definitely put up an MVP-like performance. And unfortunately, his team lost the lead late. Team LeBron got hot, and Kevin Durant ended up taking home his second MVP. But yeah, Giannis shined. I mean, if there was a moment where everybody sort of all eyes are on a certain player, it was Giannis. I mean, Giannis was the guy who stole the show. I don't think there's anyone who could say that there was a player on the court better than Giannis. And Joel Embiid and Russell Westbrook did their damnedest on tanking the sort of the all-star festivities from Giannis, and just Westbrook tried way too hard. Budenholzer kept him on the court far too long, if I had to criticize one thing from Coach Bud. But yeah, it was a great moment for Giannis, and definitely for the people, the national media types who maybe don't watch Giannis on a night in, night out basis. They only get when he plays the Celtics, when he plays the Sixers, plays a top-tier West Coast team. They finally got the look of Giannis where this is shit we see every night, man. This isn't just like a one-time thing. Like, this happens on a regular basis. So it's kind of cool for these guys to see that. I think that is that's a really exciting part of this, that maybe and it's not to say like the MVP vote, like, yeah, James Harden's on this unreal streak. But sometimes with MVP voting, if you've listened to like Bill Simmons, he always breaks this down about how you have these moments where the guy's just the best player in the league, and he is just having a year that's worth recognized, of he's put himself into the upper echelon of great NBA players and deserves to be recognized for it. That's exactly what Giannis is doing. So I get the James Harden angle. I get that what he's doing is impressive, but like, not to be a Wally Waukesha, but you could argue what Harden's doing is selfish, and that it's not necessarily, he's not helping the team, and he's helping them win games, sure, but it's James Harden's helping James Harden win games, not necessarily, I don't know. Maybe that's too spicy, because he's averaging like 7 assists per game, so it's not like he's shooting at this unreal rate and he's only averaging 3 assists a game. Like, he's still near like 8 assists a game, and it's like, that's hard. I guess weigh in for that. I know that we're biased, right? We all want Giannis to win MVP, but do we think that what James Harden is doing is selfish, or because he has high assist totals, because he gets other people involved, and he just has to do that because Houston really isn't that good. Is that why Harden kind of gets that MVP nod? I don't know. Weigh in with your thoughts. So tap WY. Try to keep your Giannis bias out of it, because clearly I didn't, and then I was like, wow, this takes a little too hot. Sometimes you just got to realize that, right? All right, wrapping it up with college basketball. So Marquette and Wisconsin both out of action this weekend. A really weird weekend to be out of action. It was a loaded college hoops day. For Marquette and Wisconsin to both not be a part of it felt oddly strange. Wisconsin back tonight. They're taking on an Illinois team who I think they have 9 or 10 losses or wins. But they are clearly like kind of on the up and up. I would not be wanting to put the Badgers in any sort of taking the point. I'd probably take the points there, whatever Illinois is an underdog, because they're playing good basketball. They beat Ohio State on the road last week. I mean, they are playing decent basketball. They are Badgers are an 11-point favorite. That is far too high. I mean, I know Illinois has struggled on the road, but they are 10-15, but 6-8 in the Big Ten. So it's not like they are a cellar dweller in the Big Ten. They just had a very bad non-conference. And so, yeah, they won't make the tournament, but they're a team that I don't kind of think you want to play in the Big Ten tournament. And so this will not be an easy game for Wisconsin. Illinois has not traveled well. They've struggled on the road this year, but still, they need to, this is a big stretch for them. I mean, they have 4 games against inferior opponents that they need to keep winning, and not that a loss does not mean at all that they are out of the tournament by any way, shape, or form. They're in like Flint, but from a seeding perspective, they need to keep winning. So right now, the Badgers, according to Jerry Palm, are a 5 seed. Jerry Palm has the bracket index, which I think is a great way to sort of look at where teams stack up. And right now the Badgers are 5, but there are 2 Big Ten teams right now in the 4 spots, Iowa and Purdue. Purdue is a team Wisconsin does not play the rest of the year. The Badgers do play Iowa late in the season. I think Iowa is getting a little too much love. I mean, let's consider the facts here. Iowa has a nice resume. They did play one of the weaker schedules from a conference perspective. But the difference versus them in Wisconsin is they're 6-0 in quad 2, while the Badgers are 4-2. But the thing about Iowa that's worth noting is they've won their last 2 games on buzzer beaters. Super exciting, super cool, but it makes you a little bit fraudulent, right? Like, you can't, how much can you buy into a team that's won their last 2 games in the final moments? Like, is that really legitimate or not? Iowa has a tough game against Maryland, who Maryland is kind of finally showing some teeth on the road. They beat Purdue, that was at home, but they hung with Michigan for a little while. They ended up losing Michigan covered, thank God. That was nearly disastrous. Same with Texas, Oklahoma State. Yeah, that again, sweaty. But then you have Purdue. Purdue beat Penn State on Saturday. And Purdue, I think, has more of an advantage than Iowa, even though Palm has Purdue as the team most likely to bounce out of that top 4 seed. There he has them at 16. They go to rival Indiana tomorrow. So, or this week. So we'll see. Or not, it's tomorrow, right? Yep, tomorrow. So, and Iowa plays Maryland tomorrow as well. So they could obviously flip if Iowa were to lose at home to Maryland. But yeah, Wisconsin definitely has Big Ten competition in front of them, which I think is always helpful. I think it's always helpful to have, you know, Big Ten competitors in front of you. And like I said, Palm is one bracket, but I feel like he gives that index gives you an idea. We can look at bracket matrix too while we talk about Marquette. So Marquette has Butler on Wednesday. We've seen Marquette sort of struggle, at least when they had a week off last time around, when they had to go play St. John's. But Marquette is definitely sitting pretty. They, according to Palm, are the top 3 seed. And that's a hell of a feeling, I think, for Marquette. I think they are really playing well, playing to their strengths, and really something that I think you have to like. Butler, not an easy opponent by any means. You know, Badgers have had a long, or I'm sorry, Marquette, excuse me. You guys are going to kill me for that. Marquette's had a long, torrid history with Butler. This last couple weeks ago is their first win against the Bulldogs in a while. The Bulldogs beat DePaul pretty handily, 91-78 over the weekend, but they have not done well on the road this year. They lost to St. John's in overtime last week. They got blown out by Creighton at Creighton. Their only Big East road win is against DePaul, the same team they beat on Saturday. Other than that, they have struggled on the road. So the Marquette's just hoping to keep it up. I mean, they are with the kind of the blue bloods, right? They are with, you know, Kansas, Houston, North Carolina's at two, Michigan's at two. I mean, it's going to take a lot. I don't really think, I feel like the top eight seeds are kind of locked in, right? You're going to need something kind of crazy for Marquette to permeate and get through that's two line. Like, they're going to, I think the only way Marquette gets to a two is if they sweep Villanova and they're able to beat Villanova on the road and sweep the rest of the Big East and at least get to the semifinals or the finals of the Big East tournament. I think that is the only way that the committee is looking at the Big East and saying they deserve it too. Because right now, it's the way it shapes out is ACC, SEC, and Big Ten are shown the love. Obviously, West Coast too with Gonzaga, but that makes sense. Those are the three best conferences in basketball, no question about it. The Big East the same goes for Houston, and that's another team to watch out for. Is Houston is sort of, I think, the biggest foe to Marquette, because there'll be a debate about who would you rather have in. If you're going to make the two-line case for Houston or Marquette, who is that being made for? Marquette has a better strength of schedule. Houston, because of the division they're in or the conference they're in, they do not have the quad one wins that Marquette does. They're 4-1 against quad one, while Marquette is 7-3. Houston has had 19 games against quad two and quad four teams combined, while Marquette has only played 13. So take that into consideration. Houston's one of those teams I'd put in your tickler file, as our great friend Dan Katz would say. They're good, but they've definitely not played a high level of competition this year. Just a thought. Just throwing that out there. It's kind of the same thing with Gonzaga. Although I think Gonzaga's better, if you had to ask me. All right, that does it. We'll be back tomorrow. We will dive into the Badger game from Monday night. We'll probably start kind of trying to look ahead to the Bucks this week, see what they have on their slate, and anything else. Maybe I'll introduce the topic that I've been teasing. Like I said, I just want to find the right time for it. Maybe tomorrow is that day. All right, take care, guys. Have yourself a great Monday. If you have off for some reason because it's President's Day, enjoy that. If not, let's get it. All right, take care. Bye.